It's time to let the light in, let the light in. What's so weird?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin in Cherche, France. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. So join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our hosts, Kevin and Cher from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
All right, hello everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Kevin and Cher.
Hey everybody.
Hey, we're just so glad that each and every one of you joined us for the program today. We've been talking about the miracles of Jesus. We've kicked into the first of the year, and I think what a great way to start the year out, just learning about all the different miracles that Jesus did and how through faith we can succeed and
right.
and bring just a release of God's power, his anointing into the world. So we're just so glad that you joined us, and we're hoping that you enjoy the program today. It's been good.
It is good, and today is, according to our stuff that we've researched, it's miracle 24.
Right.
And it's the faith of the Canaanite woman and Jesus delivering her demon-possessed daughter. And
wow.
So this one's going to be pretty interesting. You know, there's a lot of like twists in here and things that we heard Jesus say and how
sure.
he did this. And so I think this is going to be a good one to break down. And I think I'm ready to do the scripture today.
All right, let's hear it. Come on.
I think I have enough energy.
It's going to be in Matthew 15,
yes.
verses 21 through 28. Not too bad. Seven verses.
Right. So here we go. So leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out to us." Almost like, you know, she's annoying
yeah.
them. He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Interesting. The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me." Now she's begging. She said, he replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment.
Yeah.
So this is a really interesting
sure.
miracle, right? You know, it sounds like the disciples don't want to do anything. It sounds
right.
like Jesus doesn't really reply right back to her. And
sure.
I don't know. Let's put this in context. Like, there's some interesting stuff that we found. Did you have something else you wanted to say?
Yeah,
first?
I mean, well, she's a Canaanite woman, and they hated the people of Canaan. So,
yeah,
anyway.
Canaanite, you know, one of the things that we have to remember is that Baal, which is the god that sacrifices children,
yeah,
Baal was actually called the Baal of Canaanite.
Yeah, right.
It was
they
such
were
a known,
in Israel's
they were
side.
Such a known thing. They sacrificed babies. They their hearts were so far from the Lord. And you know, when
yeah.
God and Jesus represents Israel, he is talking about his people too, you know.
Sure.
So anyways, but there's context around this.
That's
that
where the reference
really
dog came from though.
Yeah.
You know, they really
yeah.
had not a good opinion about
right.
this lady. But you know, the story is essentially built around the conversation between, you know, the woman
right.
and Jesus.
Yes.
So, you know, Jesus withdrew far up the coast to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And, you know, some would say that he was not simply trying to get away from the difficult events in Israel, you know, and, you know, I don't think this was a chance meeting, Cher.
No, it wasn't.
I think the Lord was going to this Canaanite area to meet with this Canaanite woman. And
yeah.
we see that a lot in Scripture, that Jesus was on a divine
right.
appointment.
Yeah.
He was going because he had, I mean,
right.
he was building the scriptures, honestly, you know, he
yeah.
was bringing the Bible
right, you
to
know,
life.
This conversation, you know, it is giving us the impression that Jesus wasn't really willing to answer her request. It says that he didn't say a word and about this conversation, you know, but what is clear is that the woman was not willing to give up.
Right.
And she kept pleading, even from her Canaanite background. And, you know, Christ recognized her faith, and I think that's where we can see that everything shifted in my view, Kevin, is like God still has mercy on the people who are doing such horrific and terrible things. And if they turn away from that,
right,
and they believe in him, he only has good in him. It's like Jesus took a minute because he didn't like what they were doing. And maybe he knew had she sacrificed? Was that her God? Is she serving Baal? So this person who serves Baal in her town, in her country, and is everything opposite that the Lord and Jesus stand for, he's having to go and probably clean up messes that are from people that are experiencing the spirit of Baal. And there's this shift here that this is talking about, where because of her faith, her willingness to turn and run towards Jesus when she's in trouble, which is what a lot of people do, you know?
Sure.
They're all about the bad things and sinning and doing all the terrible things. But then when it comes down to them really desperately needing something, sometimes you turn to the Lord, and he is faithful.
Sure.
He's faithful.
Well, you know, I think you got Jesus, and now he's in Gentile territory.
Exactly.
I would venture to say Jesus knew where he was going with the Gentiles. You know, he knew that he was going to be Savior of the world, not just Israel. But, you know, he met this woman who was convinced that he was the Messiah, which is really kind of a picture of the Gentiles coming to Jesus. And, you know, he couldn't discourage her efforts. She was, like, unstoppable. And
well, isn't that an interesting contrast? Because I didn't – let me stop you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure,
I'm not interrupting.
No.
Like, what you're saying is really good, because the Jews, Jesus is trying to convince him he's the Messiah. And how ironic that a Canaanite woman whose
this
whole
Gentile
town
lady.
Is serving the – worshiping Baal – is coming, and she recognizes him
She's
as the Messiah.
Like, yeah, you are the Messiah.
Yeah,
you know?
Keep going.
Yeah, but I mean,
like, wow.
you know, he was attempting to put her off, though. I mean, come on, you know.
Well,
he's
for
like,
a minute, I think
here,
he just,
you know?
The disciples were just
but,
like,
you know, that was kind of a test to see where her faith was, I think. You know, he's like.
Well, her heart posture, maybe, you know. He's like, oh, here she comes. She just wants
me to do
a sign and a wonder. You know,
even
what you mentioned before we came on air.
Yeah, just, you know, I mean, well, you know, I always wonder sometimes if, you know, she was bringing her daughter to Jesus because she was worn out trying to deal with her daughter.
Let's go back to that scripture.
We see that, you know.
What was it
it's
you
like
mentioned?
In verse 25 there.
Yeah.
You see it?
Yeah. She says, the woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me.
Yeah, Lord, help me. But,
you know.
And it could have been that she just wanted help for both of them. Yeah. But in
something
some ways.
Something shifted because he could clearly see through it that he shifted.
Yeah.
He shifted.
She faith, was believing.
Her faith shifted.
She had faith,
right, you know.
But, so. You know, when you look at the Old Testament, you know, background, there's a lot of information about the conflict between the kings of Israel and the Canaanites, and we've kind of hit on that already, but this gives us some insight into the imagery of her being called a dog in the conversation. But she was, like, persistent. She was coming at it, and she was in faith. And, you know, it shows that there was a movement from the Jews to the Gentiles in Jesus' ministry, okay? He's definitely allowed them access to him, even though he didn't want to do it. He said she came in with so much faith that Jesus honors faith, Cher.
He does honor
You know, if
faith.
We look at it
well, a spiritual
from a perspective
law.
Of faith, you know.
It's a spiritual law,
know,
right?
All things are possible to those who believe.
She believed that
he was the Messiah, that he could fix this problem of hers.
Right.
And, you know, she's like, yes, you can call me a dog if you want, but dogs eat from the crumbs of the master's table.
So and
she's
I'm still
acknowledging
here,
him
I,
as.
That's right. Yeah.
She acknowledged him as the master and. You know, she acknowledged that it was his table that she needed to eat from, you know, so that's the faith right there.
Yep.
She's like, you can put me in any position you want and place me anywhere you want, Jesus, but I'm still under you.
She's desperate.
I'm still part of your kingdom.
Well, the supernatural law of the Lord, which says, you know, if you have faith. And so she was unwavering, and you know she had everything going against her, Kevin. If we
look
at this,
at all
like
the barriers
she's a Gentile woman, she's a Canaanite woman, she's got a demon possessed daughter, which is like having you know the plague.
Right.
Nobody wants you to be around them. So all these barriers, racial barriers, social barriers, culture barriers, and then
barriers.
I got a country accent all of a sudden, and then spiritual barriers.
Yeah, I mean,
you know? So that I don't know that all that's really interesting to look at, you know, and think about, she must have been so terribly desperate and loved her daughter dearly that, you know, the demon was torturing her as much as it was torturing the daughter. You know, you just imagine the situation that her daughter must have been in with this demon just completely wrecking their entire family and isolating them, you know. And she still went to the Lord, you know, and not to Baal.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, she could have sacrificed her daughter.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting.
Yeah.
All of this, you know, as we look at the scriptures, you know, you got the Jews and the Gentiles. And if we look at the account in Mark, you know, 7:24-30, you know, Mark gives us a little more information in some areas. Jesus came to the region, you know, and he entered the house and didn't want anybody to know it. The woman heard about it and came looking for him.
Yeah.
So
right.
She hunted him down, and he explains that, you know, she was Greek, born in the Syrian, you know, Phoenicia area.
Right.
This was a northern country. It was ruled by Greek people, and in the period, you know, immediately before the time of Jesus, people in the region, you know, they were all mixed
right.
nationalities
right.
and interracial relationships and all of that stuff,
yeah.
which the Jews were very much frowning on, you know,
right.
they didn't like that kind of stuff. But,
yeah,
you know, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say that story is interpreted as part of like the development of this redemption of history. You know, we move
sure.
from the Old Testament and the concepts to this full Christian idea of Jews and Gentiles both being in the kingdom.
Sure.
Like we're breaking all, Jesus is just breaking all the
all
rules.
The molds.
And now the Canaanite woman is doing the same from her region and what she represents and even the disciples, you know, and what they thought of her and what everyone knew about her. God's just breaking those things off and showing that if you abide by the supernatural law, the Gospel of Matthew, he had already included such a statement in Matthew 10, around 6. It says Matthew's Jewish, I'm talking like country here, but that audience would have been interested to know that Jesus did a miracle for a Canaanite woman, you know, in a Gentile land.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mark was writing to a different audience than Matthew was,
right,
Cher. I
for
think
sure.
it was, he was trying to reach the Gentile audience, and, you know, that statement would need a lot of explanation to them. You know, Jesus had healed Gentiles before, but always in Jewish territory. So now he's moving out. He's
yeah.
he's branching
right.
out into
right.
other people's land
exactly.
and beginning to do miracles there.
Yeah.
Which,
I love putting all this in context before we like. So let's break down some of the scriptures. So
okay.
let's talk about the plea of this woman. You know, she
sure.
says, Lord, Son of David. So she's coming with this understanding of, like we said, who Jesus really is.
Absolutely.
And this is super impressive, you know. I mean, she's coming from a land that we know is just a Baal-worshipping,
yeah,
hated Israel.
Jesus didn't answer, though, Cher. I mean, why not?
Well, yeah, he didn't answer her because I think he was challenging and seeing where her heart motives were is what we really kind of have to assume here.
Yeah.
But I think he's leading her along to develop the understanding also for the disciples, because they were ready to, like, get her out of here, you know.
Right,
and,
right.
And, you know, so he's trying to set things up for what's about to happen. Because remember,
yeah.
we knew that he was going to meet the Canaanite
right,
woman.
Right.
And all of the Holy Spirit and God was directing every step that he took and every miracle that he did. We knew, well, he probably knew, the disciples didn't know this.
Right.
It's being recorded for all of time.
Right.
Thousands and thousands and millions of years later, or you know, millions of people and thousands of years later, people were going to read this. And so there was always a lesson being taught in this. So I think the purpose of Jesus pausing was him considering, was her heart posture right?
Right.
And am I going to help this woman that does all these evil, wicked things? And we're about to see.
Well, you know, you were talking about the disciples too. You know, I bet you that there was some pride there with the disciples, because they're annoyed with this lady. They're
yeah.
like, how dare this Canaanite woman come in
here.
And
you're too,
interrupt the Lord,
you.
Our Messiah, you know?
Right,
but
right.
And they're thinking, he's come for the Jewish people, you know? And who's this dog thinking
yeah.
she can just come in
yeah.
here and march
the
in here
part,
and get her daughter healed too? When
right.
They're thinking of her like an enemy,
well, the,
you know?
Yeah, and I was going to say, the pride part would be the fact that they think they're better than her. And here's Jesus kind of saying, she really is doing things that aren't right. but I'm going to love her just the right, same. Right. And man, what mercy that we have to learn. God despises and hates wicked. You know, he does. But this woman was not showing that. Her heart posture was really begging for help and having faith that Jesus could do it. So anyways, it's pretty cool. You know, and then Jesus was sent, he said, only to minister to Israel.
Right.
So it's really interesting that he came to make a legitimate offer for the, you know, for the kingdom of Israel, and yet he chooses to help this woman.
Well, it's really, I think it's her persistence. I think persistence can be a great tool, you know, sometimes in our life.
Right.
You know, I mean, first she had reverence for Jesus,
she did.
And she admired him. And then she had an understanding and a faith in him as to who he was, what he could do. And I think that her persistence and the posture, like you were saying, her heart posture of her persistence, it wasn't arrogant. Right. It wasn't demanding. It was, man, please, will you help me?
Right. Is that, you know, because there is a rejection here, you know.
Yeah.
Who did he consider to be the children? And who did he consider to be the dogs, you know? And this was a very politically incorrect language here, but Gentiles were dogs to the Jews. And, you know, this argues for this authenticity of the scripture, because it would be tempting to tone down Jesus's seemingly cruel words here, but we have to put it in perspective. You know, I think a lot of people that would be like so offended by that, but what they're trying to show is if you really had a deep understanding of what the Canaanites did, how they acted, what they did to children, most people would be like, shoot her, you know?
Yeah, right.
You wouldn't even give her the time of day
just
based off where she came from. But see, Jesus is looking into the deeper matters of her and her heart.
Yeah, right.
Which is what we're talking about.
And that's
here.
What we see in her response, you know, because she responds with an amazing understanding of faith, you know, and she's asking if Jewish failure, it can result in a Gentile blessing, you know, many times. And, you know, can't Gentiles have what Jews reject? I mean, she reveals what God is doing in the world.
Right.
You know, Israel's failure will result in a Gentile blessing because Jesus said in Scripture, he said, it came to his own and his own received him not, but to as many who would receive him, to them he gave the power to be the sons and daughters of God.
Yeah, and we're going to see, like, he fed the 5,000 Jews, and we're about to see him feed 4,000 Gentiles.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's going to switch. And, you know, there are no more restrictions on the basis of food. Peter didn't, you know, learn this until Acts later. Remember, he saw the white sheep. But, you know, Jesus doesn't call Gentiles dogs anymore because they are no longer the outsider. So it's Jesus kind of acknowledging this is how they're perceived, and now I'm going to change that and no longer see this person based off of a location, who she might be. We're going to look at her heart posture. Like, this is, he's trying to teach the disciples, this is how we're going to look at people. We're going to look into the deep treasures of who they are.
Right.
We're going to look into who they are really. So God's like using, you know, Jesus is just really changing things up here. You know, it's really cool. It's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I just love that the shift is happening. You know what I mean?
Right.
Jesus is about to go global. He's not just going Israel. He's about to go global. And we've seen that. You know, we've seen the gospel spread to every region, every corner of the earth. And, you know, every country that I can tell you that I've been in, I've seen Jesus there. Mm-hmm. I've seen the church there. I've seen representation of the gospel there. And all of that started. This was the beginning of all of that, Cher.
Right.
This is when it all started to...
Well, he's unraveling everything. He's unraveling it and placing the spiritual law into the world with the light of Jesus, and Jesus is going into all the areas, even, you know, when the Canaanite woman comes, he makes that decision.
Sure.
So an interesting thing to mention, if you look at Matthew 8 and Luke 7, John 4, Matthew 16, all those miracles were healing of Gentiles. So, you know, and they were all done, there's some significance here, they were all done from a distance. Does that make sense? You know, Gentiles were viewed as being far away, and then the Jews were, as you know, recognized as being near, if you're catching what I'm trying to say here. But, you know, there's a significance to that. There's this change, and there's this parallel, even from a 100 thousand-foot view of even the organization of how God, Jesus did one set of miracles and then how he did the next set of miracles with the Gentiles. It's like he's just unraveling everything in the best way and making things shift and change, you know? So, I don't know.
Well, I think in some ways, you know, Jesus is provoking the Jews to jealousy in a way because he's like, you know, I'm going to the Gentiles now. You know, you rejected my provision
right.
as the Christ, and now it's becoming available to the Gentiles. And you know what? Salvation was still of the Jews at that point, you know, and now we're seeing it.
You think it was jealousy or more of just an awakening in their heart
to
love?
Yeah, I don't know. Both, but they did get jealous.
Yeah, I think that—
They're like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah, that pride was that they were different and they, you know, but yeah, so it's an interesting perspective, you know, but how...
They were rejecting him.
Who was rejecting him? Say that.
The Jews were rejecting Jesus.
Well, they were right.
The Pharisees were just... And so he's like, well, I'm out of here. I'm going to go over here to this Canaanite land and now I'm doing miracles over here. And I'm sure some of them were like, uh-oh, you know?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah,
he's leaving.
Really,
he's going over there.
And how could God, you know, bring such good out of such rejection? But he did.
He took
those things and took this woman and used her as an example to where God causes all things to work together for good.
Yeah,
he says, you know. So it's really cool.
I'm grateful because I'm a Gentile.
Yes. Well, you're not a Canaanite. That's the good part.
I mean, let's hope. I don't know. What are our descendants?
No.
I'm just saying, though. You know, I'm afraid to do ancestry, you know.
I don't know how accurate that stuff is.
Exactly.
But, you know, so here's some other things we'll start digging into a little bit, like things to consider. You know, faith is the greater equalizer over cultural and personal backgrounds. Like, we have to remember that that she conquered all of those things.
Right.
All those things were against her in the natural, but her supernatural faith was supernatural. And
yeah.
God responds to supernatural. He doesn't
respond
to your background, your culture.
Right.
None of those things matter to him. It was her heart posture that he looked
at. Yeah, and her faith. Yeah, God always responds to faith.
You know,
I love that.
Spiritual insight leads us to spiritual blessings. That's what we're talking about. When we operate in the supernatural, in the spiritual sense, focused on God's way and not man's way and the world's way, this is when we'll receive the blessing, you know? So that's another area I think we could consider that we learned from this. This was really interesting how the Canaanite woman pulled all this out.
She gained insight into Jesus as the Messiah, and in that she received a spiritual blessing for her faith in believing and stepping into who Jesus was and believing what he was able to do, and that, you know, worked out for her. So let's take a quick break and then let's come back and just wrap up this miracle.
Sounds good. It's been
an amazing day. So we'll see you guys in just a moment.
Sounds good. Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. I just know Jesus is the way. I just know Jesus is the truth. I just know Jesus is the life. I just know Jesus is my God. Love rock music? Love Jesus?
we got the place for you. Join us for God's Rock. That's right. God's Rock is a rock music service with a relevant message held at 7 p.m. every first Saturday night of the month at Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. You can get more information at godsrock.life or call 321-749-7234. The venue's located at 1250 North Banana River Drive. Why should the devil have all the good music? Those upon the rock, we salute you.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the program.
We're back.
Kevin and Cher here. You know, we've been talking about the Canaanite woman and, you know, her demon-possessed daughter and how she came to the Lord. And Jesus kind of rejected her, Sherry. He's like, you know, I can't feed.
He definitely paused for a minute, like, yeah, just, and then why should I, you know, use this dog reference. And
right,
you know.
Right. So, but, you know, she was persistent. And, you know, I think just like her, we have to realize that we have, you know, the privilege of being able to bring our troubles to God, you know.
Absolutely.
And she didn't waver in that. She was
right.
Like, I have troubles and I'm bringing them to God. And
right.
I think that's a great kind of little segue to kind of
yes, and it doesn't matter
the program with here.
It doesn't matter who you are, your background, where you came from. You know, the Lord isn't looking at those things. He's looking at your heart posture. He's looking at your faith. He's looking at if you trust him, and, and will you bring your troubles? And she did, despite all of those things, you know.
There's a couple of key elements that I think we could really tie in on. One was that she had boldness to approach God, you know.
The Bible says to come boldly to the throne.
There you go. That's so good.
God is looking for
You know, he's looking for boldness, and she had that.
You know,
she didn't quit, you know. She had persistence, you know. And I think we can find persistence to you know, continually seek the Lord. You know, sometimes in life we've got to grab hold of the promises of God in our life, Cher. We've got to grab them. We've got to run with them, and we got to be persistently standing. Yeah, standing on the word is huge.
We taught you guys. We got to speak. You got to speak to those things. You know, she was very bold, but she was not proud. You know, and she was very humble and understanding that. Yeah, she's a Canaanite. She's a dog. You know, like we were saying, she was like, I none of that matters to me. What you say, you know. She was focused on getting Jesus to help her and having the faith and the humility to say, call me whatever you want, do whatever you want, but I know that you will help me, and he did.
Yeah, I agree with you, Cher. I think successful prayer always comes from an approach of humility.
Being
humble. Humble ourselves before God in every situation, and just as this woman did, and, you know, just
– right.
Just seek him with
with
just this attitude of, you know what, God, I need your help. I need you to be with me. I need you to
And one thing to close on is like the disciples model, beware of not having a lack of compassion. You know, we can learn from Jesus to always be compassionate no matter. Don't judge where the person is. Look for the treasures within.
Hey, we hope you guys enjoyed the program. Have a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.